Tonight, we're looking at the complexities of parading. But I have a couple of announcements, so I'm going to look to Sarah here just to make sure I can get these all in. There's a sign-in sheet, so at some stage, if it's passed around, if you just put your name on, it just helps us for kind of records and for funders as well. Sarah also has some evaluation sheets, so she'll go right at you before you go out to fill in a quick evaluation, which I guess will take you 2 minutes. So if you could do that before you go, it would really be helpful. Next announcement is, if you're interested, tomorrow over at Sodhi Belfast Mission Skenos building, there's a group of folk in from Nigeria, Christian and Muslim folk, are going to be there for 2 days. And obviously there are complexities there between Christians and Muslims, the whole Boko Haram thing, and they were actually at a conference, these people, just on Monday looking around that. So if you're interested, that's beginning at 9:30 tomorrow morning over in the Skenos building there over at East Belfast Mission. So if you are interested in going, maybe just see Sarah, because we'll just allow us to email some people tonight in relation to that. So the kind of format of tonight is Reverend Mervyn Gibson, who many of you know. Mervyn is a Presbyterian minister on the Newton-Arge Road there at Westbourne Presbyterian. Mervyn also is Assistant Grand Master of the Orange Order on the island of Ireland. Sean Murray, again, well-known figure in Sinn Féin. And they're just initially just going to give you their thoughts on parading. Couple of ground rules before we do move into this. There's going to be differences of opinion tonight. There's no question about that, okay? And that's perfectly okay. How you express that difference of opinion, let me give you a couple of ground rules, okay? So no attacking anyone's personhood. No nasty comments. When you do disagree, disagree graciously. We do want to hear a difference of opinion, because that's going to happen. But let's not just turn this into a burr pit tonight, because we may disagree on some of these areas, as I know we're going to. So let's just kind of keep those ground rules in relation to that. So I'll ask for a volunteer to go first. If not, we'll just flip a coin. So anyone want to go first, or it's going to be a heads or a tails?
The oldest usually goes first.
The oldest usually goes first. Do you want to do this age thing, Mervyn? Do you want to confess your sins?
As a volunteer, you're looking for a valuable first.
Right,
I know some of you. Everybody here will no doubt have an opinion about parades. So I don't intend to speak too long, because I think more value is you asking questions to get my response, as opposed to me giving the old monologue of my view about parades. I just will set the context slightly to say why we parade within the institution. It's part of our DNA, it's part of who we are. It goes back to the formation in 1795. We were formed out of the volunteer movement, which was raised in Ireland to defend Ireland against French invasion. The regular British forces had went over to fight the Americans, and so they were scared of French invasion, so the volunteer movement was raised in the island of Ireland, and out of that come the Orange tradition in many ways, or the members of the first Orange Lodges come out of that tradition. So they were military people who were used to marching. And that has continued to be part of what we do over many years. I think the first march was in 1796, a year after reform, and it was on the anniversary of the Battle of the Boyne. So we've always marched. We usually march either on the 12th day or to church services. We commemorate other things like the 1st of July in some parts of Northern Ireland. And also, although it's died off more recently, is the Gunpowder Plot was a service that was very popular years ago. I was in House of Orange today, and I was sitting looking at a banner by Trafalgar, so I suspect we marched at that stage as well. But I think where there was, a British victory, where there was people from the island of Ireland who were Protestant and Loyalist and Orange, probably there was a march around it. So marching is part of what we do. And it's usually celebratory or commemoratory. It's not to offend. It doesn't intentionally, let's go flag trailing here, whatever people want to call it. I'm not saying that has never happened in the past. I'd be naive if I thought that didn't happen. Growing up, I remember, as they always say, there was a Pope throne in East Belfast. We used to go to the 11th night with a bog, not necessarily as Orange men, but just as individuals, beside Willowfield Police Station. We'd have marched up and down the bomb, we'd have played later. Wrong, absolutely wrong, no issue. But it was off its day, and hopefully those days are past as we move on. And I think it was done in both sides. With regard to the current parade dispute, the order come through the Troubles, The vast majority of its members, I believe, would have joined the security forces, supported them. We had members who took the paramilitary route. But I believe most of our members would have supported the Crown forces. Indeed, of the 322 Orange men and women who were killed during the Troubles, quite a significant majority were members of security forces, particularly along the border, UDR men, reserve policemen who were murdered. The Troubles, I believe, was a safety valve for the Protestant community in many ways, with the parades and the protests. I know certainly I was in the Orange from, I was able to walk virtually carrying the string. I'm from an Orange family. My grandfathers, both grandfathers were Orange, mother's Orange, father, everybody, uncles, were all in the institution. So it was natural I joined the institution, but I grew up in the late 60s. And it was also natural that time, 69, 70, to think about joining the paramilitary organisation. And I have to say, if it hadn't been for the influence of the Orange, I probably would have. Thankfully, I didn't. But others took that course of action, and I have to say, in those days, I'm not particularly condemning those, because it was a different situation in 69, 70 when whole communities were under attack. People had to defend those communities. But the Orange gave me personally another file for that political action that I wanted to take. Having said that, I was very much tempted to join the paramilitaries, but and I always be cautious about saying this to people, think it's an excuse for collusion. But at 18, I joined the RUC, and I have to say, I have no qualms with saying I didn't join the handout parking tickets, I joined the fight republicanism, or has become terrorism. That's both sides of the coin. I wasn't active at all during the Orange, during my RUC days, but when I came out of the RUC to go into the ministry, I became more active in the Orange institution again. And part of that, the first time of becoming active again, was around the whole Drumcree thing. But what some of us don't realise, I have to say, I'm talking about within the Orange and all, that it's Northern Ireland's not the same place it was 10 years ago, 20 years, 30 years ago, or 50 years ago. We're a changing society. People themselves have changed. At one time, you know, the 50s, the Orange Order was what people had, and the church, and that was it in many areas. That is, society's changed. There's a whole range and choice of things. The Order is a smaller organisation than it was. Indeed, the churches are the same. Most fraternal organisations, our church organisation, have all dropped the numbers. The Order was no different. But we held our numbers actually during the Troubles. I reckon we'd only be half the size now if it wasn't for the Troubles. I think more people would drift away. The Troubles give people a rationale for coming together. Again, particularly in the country areas, it was an organisation that could bind people together and look after each other in times of trouble. However, I think, like the vast majority of the Protestant community, unions community, we weren't prepared for the peace that came along. I always describe it in a way that, yes, we had the Good Friday Agreement, where I still probably would contest that nearly a majority of unions were against it, but those who didn't normally vote come out and voted. But anyway, democracy is democracy. But I think the real shock to the unions community was when Paisley signed up for the St Andrews Agreement. People weren't prepared for that. The Republican movement, to give them credit, had prepared their people for years. You're going to have to accept the police, you're going to have to do this, you're going to do that. There was no preparation on the union side. How do you deal with people who have been involved in murder near kith and kin? How do you deal with people who you termed as terrorists before that? How do you relate to people like that when there's no apology, or they feel quite rightly they were justified in murdering members of the security forces and murdering others as well, civilians, Roman Catholic and Protestant? And I think we're still suffering from that as a community. The Order was no different from that, prepared for that. And I think we're still picking up the pieces of coming to terms with what is relative peace compared to what we went through. The Republican movement, I believe, I'll let Sean speak for himself, obviously, but I believe after the ceasefire, they had a surplus of manpower, not knowing what to do with. They were pretty well got Sinn Féin way, so keep the troops happy, do a bit of street agitation around parades. I have to say, I think it's as simple as that. And equally, we were coming out of a conflict, so there were still, the Orange Order embodied many things that the Republican community were against. And I believe they used it as a tactic to give their personnel on the ground something to do, but also a political tactic as well, that there could be trouble in the Orange Order because of that and part of that. And so we had a whole gamut across Northern Ireland of objection to parades. And part of the Republican shopping list to keep the ceasefire in line was they wanted a parades commission to control parades. And they got it through the North Report. The Orange Order took part in the North Report, but there were very few of our suggestions or recommendations that were embodied in the final report. And what we then got was the Parades Commission. And Parades Commission, from its inception, is predicated against the Loyal Orders, or anybody who wants to parade, I'll have to say. But the vast majority of those who want to parade in Northern Ireland are Loyal Orders. And it's a protester's charter. Simply, if you have an objection to the parade almost has certainly to be rerouted, determination placed against it and how it should proceed, etc. And we would say, I can understand, if I was a Republican, I'd have pushed for it, I'd have got it, because your shopping list was, nobody wanted to go back to war, so you got what you wanted. I think it served its purpose. It's time for it to go. Indeed, I would contend it's part of the problem here in Northern Ireland now, and has been for many years. So what do I want to parade anywhere and freely, and this is my right, and I'm proud, and I'll walk wherever I want. No, I don't. Parades have always been regulated. I always tell this story. In 71, a parade going to Paisley's Church in Orange, parade on their own road Sunday, was CS Gas by the British Army. I live in the Raven Road, I remember smelling the gas. My father was on the parade. That parade was banned. Who banned it? John Taylor, the Minister of Home Affairs, Ulster Unionist, and a leading Orange man at the time. So there's always been regulations towards parades. All we're saying now is that we believe it has to be a fair and equitable regulation against parades, and we have no issue against regulation, but we don't think we're getting a fair crack of it, as much because the legislation skewed against us. I don't want to go into individuals over the years in the Parades Commission, but that there's been issues there too. But we say again that this Parades Commissioner, their hands are tied by the legislation, I believe, I have to say, and they have, it's day hard, they're going to have to go back. Is this somebody say this parade's going to cause a breakdown in community relations? If somebody says this parade's going to cause violence, then it has to be rerouted. And all you need is someone to do that. All we want is a fair assessment to look at the whole situation around the particular parade. We've had three goes at that, and maybe what he called it's time to change the personnel, because Sean and I were involved in all three and they haven't worked yet. But that was the Eichsteiner review, the strategic review on parades. Then we had the Hillsborough negotiations, and more recently the Haas process. We've got that in the leaders' talks after that. And we've still failed to find a resolution. I have to say, I think parades for us has always been a principle about what we do. For the Republican movement, it's a tactic, and they can change their tactics quite freely. Heart of hearts, I could see that Sinn Féin, we've outlived our usefulness objecting to parades in many ways, but Gark's looking over their shoulder, there's internal issues maybe about somebody says, we can't go soft in the parades, etc. But I think it's time for us all to move on, because if there's street trouble around parades, which there shouldn't be, is it's only a recruiting ground for dissident Republicans, and equally galvanises young loyalists and their ethnol. So I do think there needs to be a solution, but there has to be a fair solution. That's all we're looking for within the institution. Let me say a couple of things. I don't want to walk through a nationalist community. I don't want to walk up the Falls Road or through the middle of Ardoyne or anywhere else. Hey, nobody would know me. So you're not going to know who's going to wave at you and smile at you and shout at you. Well, I might shout at you, but not what you're expecting. So I don't want to walk, but I do want to go along where what I would describe as Maynard Taylor roots and shared roots. I do think those minority Protestant communities in Balaki and other places have the right to go to their church on a Sunday and a parade, which is only playing hymns. What's the objection to that by anyone? Yes, there's been bad behaviour in the past, no question about that, and there'll probably be bad behaviour in the future. That's society. Bad behaviour by protesters all around us. But I have to say, I think with most of us, the vast majority, have moved on. I think we've recognised there's been issues in the past. We've tried to address those. But no matter what we seem to do, it doesn't seem to please people. And I think it suits some to keep that legislation there and not to move on. And I have to say, it's not all my... Republicans aren't the only one in my sights, probably not a good term to put. Somebody will misinterpret that. But the Haas talks, I have to say, I seen the Lance and the SDLP. I think the Lance played a game of it was payback for the flags. We got the blame for the flag protest, although the order didn't come out on the streets over the flag protest. But I have to say, Alliance were extremely hard on parades, and indeed cultural issues, and almost, you know, we had to license everything if they had their way, being like a fascist state. And the SDLP, I do think, are a bit out green in Sinn Féin, and so they take a hard stance on it at times, because they don't want to lose out to Sinn Féin when it comes to populist vote within Republican communities. We're up for a deal. We're up for getting it sorted out. However, there's some unresolved issues, and there's no doubt about Trudell. I'm not here to talk about Trudell specifically, but I can't see where there'll be progress until the three Ligonie lodges return home. It's a very simple parade for me. 6 minutes, 7 minutes has it up the road. It's only one of four or five parades all year. It's only one takes place in the evening, as far as I understand. But I, for the life of me, have to say, I can't see why that particular parade... Well, I can, talking about the dissidents and all that. But to me, it's, if we're not state of play, we're being held to hostage by those 6 minutes up the road. You know, what's it say about how we're going to deal with each other culturally and on other issues in the future? I think I'll leave it there.
Fantastic. Thanks,
Michael. Okay, Sean, over to you, my man.
First of all, thanks, Gary, for inviting me along here tonight. I think it's important that we have sessions like this, and the fact that we can come into a room like this tonight and discuss emotive issues like parading, I think, says a lot for the future. I'd like to paint the context first. Parading disputes are a microcosm, basically, of our divided society and the prevailing political conditions. It's a complex issue, but it has the capacity to polarise both communities and to unravel recent progress, both in relation to the peace and political processes. They're not a recent phenomenon, because some people would think that they started, and Mervyn made reference tonight, since the ceasefires. Parading disputes are as old as the Orange Order itself. You know, the owner of the Springfield Road riot there in 1962, 1970, one fatality, a couple hundred people injured. So they're not recent. And as I say, they're part of that microcosm in terms of the divided society. The Apprentice Boys, you think back in 1969, that sort of lit the fuse in relation to the corn conflict, etc. So there's massive potential, and I think it's incumbent upon us all to try and find resolutions. Mervyn referred to it as well. We've been involved in a number of processes, which proved one of them was successful, and it was the Hillsborough Agreement, where we had discourse in relation to new legislation. Sinn Féin and the DUP signed up to it, but unfortunately the Orange Order was allowed to veto the legislation, and we're back to square one again. Put in context as well, there's over 4,000 parades, 60% organised by law and orders and groups from unionist backgrounds, 4% by nationalists, only 5% were deemed contentious, and of those 5%, 31% of those were the weekly notifications for Gavaki Road. So I think it's important to put it in context. You know, there's a small number of contentious parades which are causing the problem. There's a smaller number than what there were 15, 20 years ago. If you remember back to the mid-90s, 96, we're on the brink of civil war because of parades around their increasing area. And he's old enough, and I see a number of old faces around him. Well, remember those days? They were difficult days. We were on the brink then in relation to parades. So it's an issue that is featured basically in every negotiation from the Good Friday Agreement on. Small in number, but they do have that potential, that massive potential. You know, it's like a raw nerve there, which has the potential in the spotlight again, which could cause an outbreak of conflict. And that's important for people to understand that. So how do we resolve it? Well, I think everyone wants a resolution to it. Mervyn referred to the fact that we want a fair and just resolution. Republicans want a fair and just resolution to it. And we believe that the best way to do it is to recognise, first of all, that there are competing rights involved. Britain has signed up to international obligations by way of the European Convention on Human Rights and our international statutes too. And that we believe that's a framework in terms of which a resolution can be found. I think there's broad agreement in relation to that, because they were signed up to by all sides in the strategic review of parading in Hillsborough and in the House proposals themselves. So if we get broad agreement in relation to the framework in terms of competing rights within the framework of ECHR, I think that's a good starting point. Because there are rights, you know, but the problem is the rights aren't absolute. There are qualifications, and all rights bar them on torture, etc. So we need to have a balance in relation to the parades. And that's the framework under which the Parades Commission has to currently operate. And I believe that any new regulatory body of one is formulated in the future as a result of negotiations will have to operate in the same framework as I've just after outlined. So a rights-based approach, I think, is the only way to deal with outstanding parade disputes. It allows for consistent decision-making as well in terms of regulation parades. And Mervyn admitted himself, we do need regulation. Even if we had the small number of contentious parades resolved now, in the future there could be an outbreak of contention around parading scenarios, as there has been over centuries old in relation to it. So we need some form of regulation. We need some form of framework in which we can situate any regulatory body that has to be legislated for in relation to it. The Norris report was commissioned by the British government. It wasn't commissioned by the Republican movement. They had a number of principles, seven key principles in relation to it. One of the principles was dialogue, because apart from having a framework, a regulatory body, we feel it doesn't even need to be a regulatory body if common sense prevailed and we had dialogue at local level and resolve our problems at local level before it needs to go to a formal regulatory body. And I believe, I firmly believe, and there has been occasion where this has happened, and it doesn't mean that the Orange Order lose the right to parade. Derry is a prime example. We had major contention for years. Because of a dialogue process that was formulated over a number of years, and I have to say, people like Willie Hay of the DUP played a major part in formulating that process, and I have to, you know, acknowledge that. And they were able to resolve their disputes in relation to the Derry area. I think was it last year, Mervyn, you had the county demonstration in Derry?
It was, yeah.
Massive parade, no hassle at all. So you have to ask why the difference, if you just oppose that against what happened in Belfast, especially in relation to Ireland, you have to ask why. What's the difference in relation to it? And try to understand the need and requirement for a meaningful process of dialogue. Because that's the only way, no matter what type of dispute it is, leave aside parades, anyone in this room has a dispute with a neighbour or whoever, a workmate or a friend or a family follower, the only way to resolve disputes is sitting down face to face and let's sort the problem out between ourselves. And we firmly believe that's the best way forward in relation to parade disputes. And if we're talking about rights, we also have to recognise, because you have a right doesn't mean you have to exercise that right. And if you do want to exercise that right, every right has responsibilities with it. How will my insistence on parading affect my neighbour, if it's Mervyn or Gary or anyone else in this room? And that has to be a key consideration, because it's not just about what I want to do. How will what I want to do impact on the rights and freedoms of others? And reverse back to the framework that I mentioned earlier, etc. Where you don't have dialogue or where dialogue fails, then it brings into play the regulatory framework. And I think if we get broad acceptance across the board, one, that there's a need for regulation, the framework around regulation, then I think that goes a long way towards resolving the problem. My concern is that I don't think the Orange want a form of regulatory body. There's still this sense that they still want to march where and when they want. And that's borne out of discussions and negotiations over the years in relation to parading scenarios. The Republican movement doesn't want parading disputes. I think everyone, including Republicans, have used parading in the past as a political football. But I think those days are long gone. There are people within my community who want to use it as a football, who want to use it to build a base of support for themselves, who want to use it to bring young people from my community into conflict with the police. And they see parading and parading scenarios and parading disputes as the best way and means of doing that. It's important to recognise that. There are people within, I think, the Loyalist Unionist community who want to use parading as a football as well. They want to use it to build support for their agenda, political agenda, which is different from mainstream political unionism as well. So it's important to analyse exactly what's happening. How people can use an issue like parading for their own narrow political agendas, etc. And that's what makes it so dangerous at the present time. And that's why it's incumbent that we do need to put our heads together to try and find a resolution. I think we had a resolution in 2010. That was only 4 years ago. The situation is probably more difficult now. The climate's more toxic than it was then. But because you had that level of agreement, I think augurs well for the future. If the will exists, and this is important, if the political will exists to resolve the issue, neither side can have victory, folks. If any side sets out to have a victory in relation to parading, it just won't happen. Both sides have to give. Both sides have to acknowledge that. That's why it's important to have a regulatory framework like the ECHR, which is their case law as well. well fed, well documented in relation to it, and I feel that's the best way, the best means of doing that. People may have their own observations about the Parades Commission. I don't like every determination that the Parades Commission have made, but have accepted their determinations, because I think if you start to challenge the determinations, right, if you don't accept them, if you mitigate against those determinations, then I think you undermine the rule of law itself. And I think that caused massive problems in relation to undermining the regulatory framework itself, undermining the body that's responsibility for it. And remember, that was established by legislation at Westminster. There again, it wasn't there at the behest of the Republican movement either. So it's important to recognise that, exactly where it came from, why it's there, and the statutory basis for being there. So in relation to parading, as I said earlier, it is a complex issue. It's a difficult issue. It's an emotive issue, but it's an issue that we need to resolve. And there are different perceptions and perspectives around it. One of the issues that's, or one of the challenges facing Republicans is we've been accused of having a culture war. I've just outlined the stats. The stats don't stand up in defence of a culture war. And it's important to understand that as well. From an audience perspective, it's based on one's lived experience. And I've had the advantage of seeing parades in different scenarios. I've been in rural situations where the parades didn't present a threat to me. Didn't present, you know, it's a, they weren't obnoxious, they weren't anti-nationalist, etc. I've been in parades in Belfast, which were highly objectionable in relation to the behaviour of some of the participants. And Belfast has a tendency for parades to be influenced heavily by loyalism and loyalist paramilitary groups, etc. And that's what makes it so difficult in a Belfast context to deal with the issue of parades. I think it's a totally different scenario in many of the rural areas, and that's my lived experience of it. And people will base their perspective, their judgment, in terms of how they perceive a parade, or a protest for that matter, in terms of how it's conducted and how the participants themselves have been, have behaved in either a protest or a parade, etc. So it's back again to acknowledge the need to resolve it. I think there is an honest endeavour on both sides to resolve it. At times I think the will is lacking, because some people fail to acknowledge that they can't have a victory in relation to parading. And it has to be under a sort of regulatory body that everyone can buy into. It can't be absolutist demands, because they just don't work in relation to that. So I think we've outlined, Gary, in terms of our perspective, where we're coming from in relation to it. If you want to throw it up the question. Okay.